You're listening to Small But Mighty, the podcast of the Small Nonprofits Alliance, the online hub for Australia's small charities.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the latest episode of Small But Mighty, the podcast of the Small Nonprofits Alliance. I'm here with Bianca Crocker, our founder of the Alliance. Hi, Bianca.
Hi, Kirsty. How are you going?
I'm good. It's good to catch up with you again. We haven't done an episode together for a while, so I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, it has been a little while, and I'm looking forward to it also. I think it'll be good to share some advice with our members and the small nonprofit community.
Yeah, so this episode is all about a mid-year health check for your small nonprofit. And before we go any further, I guess I should introduce myself. I'm Kirsty Wallett. I'm a founding partner and head of marketing at the Alliance. See, that's how rusty I am. I'm just completely forgot to do that. Anyway, so I'll throw to you first, Bianca. The mid-year health check is particularly relevant given we're still in the middle of this COVID pandemic. Things are really up in the air for all organisations across the world, really, and small nonprofits are no different. So what's your first recommendation in terms of checking in with how charities are doing at this time of year?
Yeah, thanks. So I think no one really could have planned for the year that 2020 has been so far. You know, we've had bushfires at the start of the year that were driving philanthropy, obviously, to the much needed charities that were on the front line here in Australia. And then obviously we've had a global pandemic sweeping the world and as seriously hitting Australian shores in March. And charities, businesses, you know, everybody hasn't really been able to foresee any of this, and whatever plans you've kind of had have been really challenging. So by now, most organisations probably will have come to terms with the cancelled events they've had to have and some changes. You may have already made some changes to your fundraising plans for the year, or perhaps even thrown them in the bin, which I can imagine may have happened. But my first point is really around your fundraising plan. And I think perhaps this year, more than any other year, a mid-year review of where you're at with your fundraising is critical, just to get you back on track, pull you back to perhaps a bit more direction and guidance around your way forward. So my recommendation is to develop a new simple plan for the last 6 months of this year. So if you already have a plan that's in play, that's great, but perhaps it's a chance for you to look at it closely and really spend a good few hours, at least, if not a half a day or a day, looking at it and trying to look at where you need to go over the next 6 months.
Bianca, my devil's advocate question here for you would be, you mentioned that some people may have thrown their fundraising plan in the bin for the year. Is that okay if that's actually what's happened in some organisations?
You know, I, as I'm sure we've talked about before, I'm a bit of a planner and I love a list. And I generally would say no to that question. But this year, I have actually had conversations with people about, you know what, just get rid of the previous plan and just make a new plan. We are, you know, totally in unprecedented times, and that phrase is, you know, getting so old now. I'm almost sick of hearing of it as much as the word pivot.
Pivot and unprecedented times. We can do a whole episode on other words. Let's expand our vocabulary. I can't even say it. And other words, you know, you could use for the pandemic. But it's true, though, isn't it, that it is a situation that we haven't faced before, and so I suppose it commands the need for a bit of ingenuity.
Yeah, I think so. And I think that's, you know, I mean, even stepping away from our work in nonprofits and the things that we do, I think it's true for our whole life. I know a lot of people, and I've been even talking to friends about this on a more personal level, everyone's kind of like, we're kind of just getting on with things. People are working from home. Businesses that can still run are still running. People are still working if you can. And, you know, I know for myself and you know, I've talked about this and others that I know are feeling quite fortunate if we're in a position where we can still work, because we do know people that are not able to work.
Yeah.
But it's not actually business as usual. We're in the middle of a global pandemic. Let's just sit on that for a second and let it soak in. Like, it's very unusual times. So Bianca, before global pandemic, would never have said to throw a plan away. But now I think that's, you know, sometimes that's an easier way to look at it. Things have changed dramatically on the fundraising and philanthropy landscape in Australia and around the globe, particularly small organisations who do a lot of community fundraising. You know, those sorts of things have had to cancel. If you're a Melbourne-based organisation, we've gone into some further restrictions again here, which, you know, isn't great. And for some organisations that were just starting to do a few more things, they've had to, you know, put the lid on that again. So absolutely, I think having a new six-month plan for the rest of this year is a great idea. And I think it's something that you still need to do if you don't have anything. So that's why I think this was my key recommendation. And I think what we want to try and do is, if possible, get a couple of people together. A few heads obviously is better than one when doing some planning work, or at least invite some input or feedback into the work that you're doing on it. Focus on what you can do and what you know you can do, at the moment. So obviously leaving community events and those sorts of things out of any plan. And the other thing I'd suggest is make sure you put in some key goals for each month across the next 6 months, that at least one goal for each of your main sources of income or areas of work. So, and it could be something simple as, you know, we're going to submit one grant application every month, or we're going to send out a donor communications piece, you know, every 4 weeks or something like that.
So there's a lot of, I've seen a bit of doom and gloom, which is fair enough, in sector media and mainstream media about how much charities are taking a hit in their fundraising. But it seems like there are also opportunities too. Like, we've seen a lot of grants, and we've shared a lot on our social media for grants that have popped up purely for COVID related issues as well.
Yeah, it's being felt already, but, you know, businesses and funding bodies that can step up their support have been able to do that. I've seen a number of organisations that have actually, you know, for the end of financial year, I've seen more dollar matching campaigns for end of financial year appeals this year than I think I've ever seen. So we have got corporate, you know, supporters stepping up and matching people's donations, and individual philanthropists and funding bodies, which is really fabulous. I think we do need to have a think about what opportunities there are there, because sometimes we can get, get overwhelmed by the feeling of dread, of we don't know what's happening. And no, we don't know what's around the corner. We don't know what the end of the year will bring in terms of donations. And we don't know next year, but what we do know is what's right at our feet now. And I think it's a really good way to plan from where we're at now and what we do know. The other thing I'd probably just also add is that if you don't already have one, a good thing to do, especially in a time where it is so uncertain, is to create a quick dashboard of some key indicators for your organization, for your organization's fundraising that you can track. So whether that's you're tracking them each month, but it could just be some simple things like the number of donations you're getting, the total dollar value of those donations, you know, the donor or volunteer engagement that you're having, and some of those key things that you do from a fundraising perspective. And if you have that dashboard that you can create where it's just a table and you're just putting some key numbers in there at the end of each month, that's a really good way just to see month by month how you're tracking and line up with your goals as well.
That's really simple advice, but it just makes total sense in terms of just being able to, I suppose, plan on the go.
Yeah, definitely.
So my first point, I think, leads into that a little bit, because I'm going to be touching on planning a little bit as well. And normally, you know, mid-year, I would suggest people check in with their entire marketing plan, which obviously is very closely related to fundraising in most organisations as well. The two intertwine really closely, and tell you to review it, you know, do a little bit of a check, see how it's going, make sure what you've plan to do in January, you're on your way to meeting those goals for end of financial year or end of calendar year. But my advice is to not worry about your marketing plan that you may have done at the beginning of the year for 2020. I'm not necessarily saying chuck it in the bin, but just put it to the side. Maybe put it on the stack of paper that you won't be looking at in the next couple of months. And check in and see tactically, I think, what's actually happening in your marketing channels. And in particular, I think the focus should be on digital. Obviously, we've become more heavily reliant on digital than ever in the current environment. And I think the best thing to do is to just take a really simple approach to checking how your digital channels are doing. I'm very aware that people don't have a lot of time to be devoting to reporting, and it's really just about trying to get runs on the board at the moment and keep up with what's happening. So I think don't spend a heap of time doing it, but just set aside 30 minutes, 45 minutes to jump onto Facebook, whether or Instagram, whatever you're using, but I know most of you will be on Facebook, and have a look at the insights. You know, the Facebook insights is more informative than it's ever been in terms of what your posts are doing. And even the scheduling features for posts are now recommending certain times when your users are most active, which is really handy. And the reason why I'm suggesting this is because I don't think you can assume that those great times and days and the topics that were working for you 6 to 8 months ago prior to this period are still going to work for you now. It's great if you take a look at your social media posts and even your hopefully you're sending a digital email and you can look at reporting for that, and hopefully they're doing as well or if not even better and you haven't had to tweak things a little bit. But I think what can happen, particularly in smaller organisations, a lot of the time is when you feel like you're chasing your tail and you're trying to respond to a situation outside of the organisation, having that critical eye on the reporting and what your posts and what your emails are actually doing just gets forgotten, and it happens to everyone. And the best thing you can do right now is check in and see what's happening with your Facebook posts and where you can tweak them. So I would say have a look if you can over the last 30 days, if you've got more time to go back further, the last 3 months on your Facebook posts, for example, and pick out those days and times and the topics that tend to be doing better than others. And I would guarantee that most people will find that it's going to be different to 12 months ago. And that's because the environment's changed.
I think. Can I ask a question? Sorry, on that, Kirsty. I'm just wondering, a few organisations that I've spoken to recently have been a little bit concerned about, you know, a perception that it's very crowded in the digital space at the moment because it's been a few months now that we've been in this situation with COVID and a lot more people are doing things on the online space. Do you have any thoughts around that?
I just have a personal sense that I think the webinar market maybe and people doing online training is a little bit more saturated than it used to be.
Yeah.
But like with anything, it's about supply and demand. So if more people are seeking that and there are more people providing it, I can't see why that's a problem. I know organisations may feel as though it appears there's saturation, but I think you really need to look at your reporting to see that. And I think unless you've looked at your posts and your emails and seen a drop-off in click-throughs and open rates, there can be lots of reasons for that as well. It may not just be because there's a little bit of saturation happening. I just think if you're a small organisation and you need to pick the low-hanging fruit, you need to be in there and slogging it out with everybody else regardless of whether you have a sense of oversaturation or not. I do get the concern, but I think now is not the time to worry too much about that from a strategic level, because it really still is about doing the tactical stuff at the moment, I think, to keep up. And I think if there's adapting that you aren't able to do, or you're not looking into things, and I don't want to discourage people here, but I think it is still a time to be on your toes about things and be open-minded to working in different ways. And I think, yes, you know, there might be a bit of oversaturation. I don't think there is on Facebook personally. Perhaps people are sending more emails, but I think there's also a demand there for more content via email. I think more people are sitting on their email. There's less break from that probably than normal. More opportunity to maybe check emails that aren't work emails if you're telecommuting. Not suggesting that anybody's not working hard, but let's be honest, like if you like I know working from home, I'm more productive than I ever was in an office. So there are all those things to consider too. And I think that's a very valid point. And I wouldn't want that to scare people off doing something though, because I think that's where you will fall behind. Make sure that a perceived oversaturation is backed up by your stats. And if you feel like that's what's happening, then you need to really think hard about, okay, how can we combat that? How can we start cutting through what's being spoken about, you know?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. It then comes back to, well, think about actually what are you communicating, and at the end of the day, I guess you still need to be able to communicate with your supporters. So even if your supporters are getting lots of messages from lots of different places, you do still need to be one of those places that they're getting messages from. So it's probably just about considering what messages you're putting out there and the relevance and importance of them, and making sure they are both relevant and important.
Well, and these are the basics of doing great digital marketing, whether it's social media or your emails. You content is always the most important part, and it always needs to be as high quality as you can and as engaging as you can and as targeted at your audience as it can be. So that's still going to apply, if not even more so, during this period. So it might just be, though, that you have to tweak what you're talking about. And I'm not accusing any small organisations or nonprofits of doing this, but I think if you are trying to conduct business as usual, you might be seeing a bit of that, because what you were doing 6 to 8 months ago is probably not going to be working for you now. I'd say there'd be exceptions to that. And if you're an organisation that has an experience in that, then that's fantastic. But I'd say that would be the minority. You know, most organisations and people that we've been working with in particular are having to pivot off that. There's that word again. Are having to turn on their heel on a weekly basis. You know, I know we've had client work that has had to change in the last week because of the restrictions in Melbourne, and I'm sure there are so many people in the same basket. So.
Yeah. Yeah, no, great.
And I think, you know, if you are really pushed for time, I have banged on about this a lot before, but, you know, if just have a really brief look at your Facebook, you're going to be getting the most engagement in your email newsletters. So spend some time in MailChimp or whatever email client you use to send them, and have a look at your reporting and see if that regular newsletter that you usually send at Tuesday at 11 a.m. isn't getting as many opens. Then what are some other times that you could test? You know, do a bit of testing and try to, as we'd said, cut through some of that saturation that may or may be happening.
Yeah, great. Thanks. That's really good, useful and practical advice for people while they're working in the digital space.
And while we're on the topic of Facebook, I think it's my next point is about Facebook fundraising and really getting your head around Facebook fundraising, and I think expediting a decision, if you haven't already, to enroll your organisation in Facebook fundraising. I understand it's not going to work for all organisations, but if it's been something that you've been thinking about, and I would encourage all small organisations to take advantage of digital fundraising wherever possible, particularly right now. If it is something you've been wanting to do, then I think you need to prioritise that, I would say, in the next month. And there's a couple of reasons for that, and we've talked about them before. And we're actually doing a webinar on it later this month to help people with the process as well. But we have seen a real turning point in 2020 with Facebook fundraising, where people have donated, and, you know, a lot of millions of Australians donated via, you know, for the bushfire relief. And people, I think, have found the process easy with PayPal as donors and, you know, are open to doing that, and it's becoming more popular. And I think, you know, you're potentially missing out if you're not getting your charity in on the cut that is PayPal the PayPal Giving Fund. But something that you and I stumbled across, Bianca, fairly recently is, and I like to think I keep up with the Facebook developments, particularly when it comes to the fundraising platform that they've developed in the last 12 to 18 months. But we stumbled across this through one of your clients, that the PayPal Giving Fund is now granting money to organisations that aren't enrolled in Facebook Giving. We still don't know how this is happening. We assumed it might be just if you have a Facebook page or if you have a PayPal account, but I don't think it's necessarily either one of those. I can't find any information on Facebook about or PayPal about exactly how they're doing it. So we don't know. But
yeah. The
newsflash to everyone out of this point is that even if you have not enrolled your charity, somebody could still pick your charity through the PayPal Giving Fund on Facebook as a birthday fundraiser or a personal fundraiser. And if you don't have your details registered, I believe they send a check in the mail.
Yeah, so. I believe it can take up to 16 weeks to get to you. And I think for some organizations, I feel like they might be like, oh, great. Well, I don't have to register. I don't have to go through that process. But one thing I have noticed with another client that I was working with is that they've actually been, you know, listed in the drop-down list now when someone can choose a charity to donate to. They've actually listed under their old name. So their previous name that they were registered as, which they've since, you know, for a couple of years now had a new trading name. But so if for that organization, that's actually a challenge, because if they do have someone that actually wants to fundraise for them, they'll look on the list and they won't actually be on the list because it's, you know, you would be looking under the name that you know the charity and it's an alphabetized list. So they wouldn't be looking in the right place for it. So it is a bit of a cause for concern. Again, I think it's a great opportunity to get involved, but it is a cause for concern.
Yeah, I agree. I think there are a lot of red flags, and I think I think people just need to get ahead of it. I don't think it's a reason to not be involved in it. I think it's a reason to take control of the process. So I'm going to commit to putting my detective hat on and trying to find out exactly what the beep is going on for our webinar, so that we can really go into some detail and find out how that's happening. But everybody who comes to the webinar obviously is hopefully going to want to go through the process too, and we'll step people through that. But I thought that was a really important point to raise when we're talking about a mid-year health check, because we have talked about the many benefits of Facebook fundraisers and enrolling your small nonprofit for that this year. And I think that's potentially a really big speed hump for organisations that hadn't realised that, because there was certainly a point that we hadn't realised that either. Mm. Facebook haven't really made that overly clear to organisations either. So
that's right. And I think so that I would agree. I think that getting your charity accurately and properly listed in the Facebook Giving space is something that you should have on the plan that I was talking about earlier with some of the goals. I think one of your goals should be, you know, like Kirsty said, try and look at it over the next month or so, but at least by the end of the year, you want to make sure that you've got it all done. And from what you've said, Kirsty, the process does take a little while from Facebook's end, so you've got to get your material sorted and get some ducks in a row to get that up there. So you do want to try and think about doing that in the next few months and get that as one of the things you can do this year.
And I do believe, as with a lot of things with Facebook at the moment, their capacity is reduced because of COVID and they're remotely working. So that may potentially make the application process even longer, but certainly not a reason not to do it, just a reason to really know the red flags that are there and try and get on the front foot with that process, I think.
Yeah, I think the webinar that you're talking about that we'll be doing later this month will be really helpful for a lot of our members and listeners to, if they need help, to step them through that process of how they can get that up and running for their organisations.
Yes, that's the plan. That's the plan. And Bianca, so your second point and our final mid-year health check that we recommend for your small nonprofit is around impact.
Yeah, so I think when we you know, obviously thinking about our small charities that we work with, we often focus on fundraising and marketing, and that is critical because it needs to happen so in order for you to do your work. But it's actually really important that we make sure that we know what we're actually doing and the programs and services we're offering are having an impact. So the final point and recommendation I'd like to make around your mid-year health check is to actually check in on the work that you have been doing this year. Now, again, I know this year's been tough for a number of organizations, and you know, some of the deliveries of the delivery of your services or program has had to either change or in some cases cease for at least a period of time. So this is not about making sure you've had the best impact year ever. It's just about knowing the impact that you are having. So knowing how well your programs work is really important, because at the end of the day, that's really why we're all here. It's to make a difference in our part of the world that we're working in. So depending on the community that you serve, perhaps now might be a good time to consider getting some feedback from the people that you support. So if possible, you could do an online survey, or even if you've got some volunteers or staff members that were perhaps running a few more programs and services, but now things have scaled back a bit and they might have a bit more time, they could make some phone calls, you know, obviously a scripted phone call, and get some feedback directly from the community that you serve. Get out there and, well, get out there as in get on the phone and talk to the communities that you serve, talk to the families or, you know, the people, and ask them, what has been working, you know, how has your service helped them, and have some really poignant questions, or pointed questions, I should say, sorry, have some pointed questions that actually look at and address the areas that you want to be making change in. So, for example, if it's a health or nutrition sort of area, it might be, you know, how are you feeling like you have more of an understanding of nutrition now than 6 months ago? What are some of the main things you feel you need more assistance in to improve your health and nutrition? You know, some really key questions, and you don't want them to be too many, but I think that's one way of really starting to think about the work that you're doing and actually having an impact. And for some small charities, not all, I know a few small charities that are really on top of this, but for some small charities, thinking about social impact can sometimes be super overwhelming, and it's a bit scary because you think you've got to have all these measures in place and all these impact statements and, you know, theory of change. But that's not what I'm talking about here. I'm talking about just really some basic things. Look at the figures and the numbers of what you do. So how many meals have you delivered, or how many children have you sent packs to, or whatever it is, you know, in relation to your organization. And also think about how you'd like to, what you'd like to know, but you don't actually have that information for, and what sort of data do you need to collect so that you can actually track that better.
Well, that makes complete sense, and it's such a simple concept, isn't it, that really you need to be measuring your impact. But I think sometimes we get so caught up in doing the doing, and this is really a better time than any time to check in and make sure that you're still having that impact that you might take for granted, I suppose, in more regular times.
Yeah, and I think it's a good time because for some organisations, the change in circumstances in your delivery of things, if that has been your case, I understand for some organisations it's, demand for services has increased because some other people are, you know, in greater need. So depending on the type of your organisation, but if you are an organisation where, you know, there is a little bit of downtime, I'd really recommend using this time to actually start to think about a little bit more strategically about what you actually want to be doing in the community and what impact you want to be having, and then how, you know, set up some spreadsheets or develop some sort of system that you can track that. And the other thing I'd say on that, lastly, is just remember, obviously numbers can be quite dry. It's really good to have the numbers. And I see a few organizations will develop, you know, little infographics that that break some of the numbers down really simple. I know the charity that I'm on the board for, we did that for the first time earlier this year, which was a really great way of actually showing our impact, breaking some of those numbers down. But behind the numbers, we have to remember to tell stories. So it's really great to have those impact stories to share with your supporters about the great work that you've been doing, even if it's been a really tough year.
Yeah, that makes complete sense. So that wraps up our main points for our mid-year health check for your small nonprofit. So we talked about your fundraising plan and checking in with that, even if it's not the plan you started the year with, and making sure that you're on track, and if there's anything you can tweak and revise your goals for the next 6 months, that you can do it. We talked about looking at your digital reporting and tweaking what you were previously doing that was working if you find it's not working anymore, in particular with social media, Facebook posts, reports for your email marketing, your email newsletters. And we talked about Facebook fundraising and getting out ahead of that process and enrolling your organisation or beginning the steps to do that so that you can take control of that process that I think is going to become more and more popular. And then we've talked about impact and trying to do that. So that will keep everybody fairly busy, I think, won't it, Bianca?
I think so. But don't be overwhelmed, everyone. It is just a couple of our key points. You know, we are really mindful here at the Small Nonprofit Alliance that we know you're all working probably more hours than you should be, and that life can be a bit stressful, and particularly more so at this time. So we do really think about the information that we provide to you, and we try and make sure we think of, you know, the really main and key things that we think you should focus on at this time. So hopefully you don't find it overwhelming, but you can take on some of those things and work on them over the month of July to help the rest of your 2020.
And if you're not a member of the Alliance and you're listening to the podcast and you're interested in being able to attend our webinar on Facebook fundraising and how to do that, you can visit smallnonprofits.com.au and become a member for free on our basic membership. And if you do that as soon as you hear this, then you should get on our email list just in time to be able to get the email heads up for registration for that webinar as well.
That'll be great. I've got a few people that I've already spoken to about that that planned webinar, and I know it's going to be a popular one, so it'll be great.
Yeah. Yes. Well, you demand and we deliver. That's that's what we're trying to do. Thank you very much, everyone, for joining us for another episode of Small But Mighty. Thank you, Bianca. Great to chat again. And
yes,
we hope you will join us again for our next episode of Small But Mighty.